So the argument is we're going to create a better world for you down the line with the Sony principle and all the disadvantages that are going to be caused in the interim to the world at large are worse than the short-term benefit you might get from reduction in piracy.
Yes, the message is litigation is a loser of a strategy. You haven't got your eye on the main chance. You haven't got your people working on the main chance. This is a wave of powerful dimensions, and the challenge is to ride it, not to try and stop it. Not to create eddies in the stream.
So in a world with cyberspace beautifully built, an internet as a disruptive technology, obviously we can't know what the endpoint is going to look like. But what could it look like? Because the thing that, you know, I think back to basic Marxism in college anyway, which is that everybody has an interest, or everybody on the plaintiff side has an interest in preserving the world as it is right now. And the internet represents change in a way that's disruptive to power, which poses the problem for us, which is how do we convince those in power now to support it?
Well, it's disruptive to power that's stuck in place. It's not disruptive to power that's dynamic. And that is the challenge to the business world. I think they see it.
Well, look at iTunes.
Yeah.
It's a winner.
Look at it. Exactly.
And ESPN.com has clips from SportsCenter from the night before on it. I mean, things are opening up. And the sky hasn't fallen.
That's very important, too, as far as the plaintiffs are concerned. They're they haven't hit disaster.
Well, that's what the first part of the Berkman Center's brief, I believe, is going to be about. It's about more albums are being sold, iTunes is a success.
Then let us stay away from that. Assume that any justice that reads my brief is going to read the Berkman Center brief too. Our brief. Definitely. And I think have the curiosity to click on a link.
So they'll see the brief in an electronic format.
They'll see the brief on paper. And in the context of the brief, there will be a citation. HTTP, and someone in either they or their clerk or whoever will have to input the URL,
right,
and see what's there. But I think that you can count on.
Yeah, the key is going to be to post the brief on your website or somebody's website, and then have the whole brief there, and they can get to all the other hyperlinks from that one space.
That's exactly right. Have all the links be footnotes in this brief, and all the links be live on the net.
Certainly different from anything that anybody else has turned in so far.
Right.
I mean, I've only read the briefs on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's yet tried that.
Another element, I don't know whether it's too much to try and cram in, but I am fascinated with the power of the wiki. Just fascinated. It's all it is a every node has equal power to edit. And these things, these structures have produced amazing outputs.
Mm.
Plus, there's a social dynamic to them, which is moderating. They're inherently moderating.
Moderating in terms of what people post?
Yes, the product that comes out tends toward a neutral point of view. Neutral defined by the oppositions in the group. That's because people edit back and forth, and it's the neutral stuff that tends to stand.
Right.
I think there are some subjects that the wiki won't digest because the divisions must be too great. But when you think about the potentials for using the tools of communication and sharing for different deliberative and productive process. They're awesome. The potentials are awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, this is what the last chapter of my undergrad thesis was about.
Really?
Yeah. This is... I was writing about popular culture and how a way to answer the Frankfurt School popular culture dumbs us all down theory was that groups of cultural consumers could get together on the internet and mediate it and talk through it. And I was working in particular with fan groups and using that, and there was a reasonably budding literature out there about that. This is 3 years ago now, but there was a reasonable literature about that then. And the empirical work that I did on the internet, I was using news groups at the time, which are probably antiquated now. But it definitely bore that theory out. That, one, that cultural consumers were not as taken in as some people argue that they are, and two, that the discussion was really in line with what democratic deliberation is all about. I was using John Dewey, who wrote this book called Art is Experience, back in, 1920, something like that. And he was talking about comic books as an engine of democracy. And it was an answer in part to elitist conceptions of art, but also an answer to this is the kind of democratic deliberation that filters upward towards politics and things like that. And so my theory was that the internet is the same thing, except even better, because now doesn't depend on people on the street corner engaging with one another. It takes self-selecting audiences that can come from any different area and put them in dialogue with one another. It's the same kind of theory. It's the same kind of argument.
Yes, it is. We're actually going to try and do exactly that. That's the Global Voices Project. Very nice statement of what it is, actually.
Well, I mean, this is, may or may not be applicable. The things that I was reading, I mean, my thesis was about Disney, and 90% of the academic literature on Disney talks about how people are completely brainwashed, and everything on the internet by both Disney fans and foes rejects that concept, and opening up the world where everybody's brought into that discourse really is the key to resisting and mediating messages created by groups with a significantly larger power, beginning a base of power. So it's the same kind of thing, and I'm sure it's there've only been people a lot smarter and with a lot more knowledge than me writing about this in the last 3 years.
Okay.
So what do we do?
Here's what I'd like to see happen. I'd like to see you generate a draft. I think you generate beautiful drafts.
Okay.
Then I'd like to share the draft with Fern and sit down with you and go through it and see what we think we need.
And so we're not looking at doctrine being part of this, citations to cases and any of that.
Not a one.
This is more of a statement.
The Sony principle is the only cite. It's conceivable to me that when we make the point that the argument we're advancing is a First Amendment argument, that there could be a cite that comes in there. Some something that anchors the argument in chilling effect. And when I made this argument once before on litigation, I used Crawford, which was decided last year, a confrontation case, which adopts a new standard and which spawns an intense eddy of litigation, trying to work it out. What does it mean in each new context?
Right, it's like, a good example is Harlan's dissent in Miranda about this creates a million questions that are all going to have to be litigated. What is interrogation? What is custody? What is X, Y, and Z?
Bingo.
Although we like Miranda.
Right.
But it's the same kind of principle.
Right. We've already got the Sony principle, right?
So when you talk about links to other things in the brief, what sort of things are each, what kinds of things will we link to? Wiki stuff, obviously, would be an example.
Let's see. First, there will be links to Wayne and to Becca. And may, in the course of describing who they are and what their interest is, links to some interior things. That's possible. Even if it's just a description of who I am. And there will certainly be an explanation that on my blog you can find the brief with all the links live.
Right. Well, the beauty of using the blog is that it gives you an opportunity to speak directly to the justices as the process goes along.
In fact, I've been doing it. I've already been blogging this stuff. And it would be worth it. I've written so some notes. And maybe it would be worth it if I just read them to you. Would that be tolerable?
Sure.
We join in a brief amicus to the United States Supreme Court, to its justice and its justices. We speak on behalf of Wayne Marshall and his spouse and partner, Rebecca Nesson, children of the net, creators in the world, citizens of America, our daughter and son-in-law. We speak for them as representative of youth and of internet generativity. We speak for ourselves as parents and as citizens in our own right. The question before the court is whether or not you should tinker with the Sony principle. And then some nice clean statement of the principle. Fern wants us to be brief. A model of brevity in argument. Our power is in the facts. It's a John Doerr style, only here it's facts about the character and interest we represent. Argument to show connection. We speak for the power of connection, for generativity, for creativity in music, art, and life, expressed in the code of the cyber world. We are builders of the environment. Build cyberspace. What is it? A rhetorical space made of connection in which meaning is a measure of collective consciousness. Shall it be open or closed, or a balance of the two? This gets a little rarefied, I'm afraid, here. It must be two in balance. There is no consciousness in only one. Recognition comes with two. All open is desert, no shelter from the wind. All closed is prison. The solution to the problem of piracy, from the industry's point of view, is DRM. Their engineers see that. Just ask Chris Cookson. Their lawyers are fighting a rear guard action, using the law in an effort to buy time, but actually distracting. That was my bottom line takeaway from a meeting last week at which principal power interests watched Chris Cookson's demonstration and utterly refused to deal with it. We, the Supreme Court of the United States, and all others who are responsible for shaping our new space, help move toward the larger goal. The question of importance before us is not how to stop piracy, but rather how to build fair DRM. Here I speak past the court and lawyers, right to you, the industry, the client, on both sides, left and right, friends on both sides. How can this be done? Argument in two parts. What should not be done? And then what should? Exposition, analysis, argument, prescription. We should not distract attention and resources on litigation as a way of shaping cyberspace. Changing the Sony principle, whether in terms or interpretation, creates industry for lawyers, diverts attention and resources from understanding and solving the problem forward. What is the way forward? the Supreme Court's help in not messing things up with a change in law, where what we need to be doing is figuring the problem out. I want to make our position credible by helping lead a program to do it. Why is fair DRM the right solution to the Grokster problem? Is there such a thing? What positive role could the law take in helping to create it? Somehow we communicate facts or by reference to the Berkman Center brief, establish the energy and the growth of the blog space. Clarify the point that the internet service providers might well be willing to help implement DRM, but they need legislation to do it. Because otherwise they face a collective action problem. Any one of them that leads is at a competitive disadvantage, and all are vulnerable to the outlier. And the iTunes, iPod strategy for competing with free, why does it work? We don't have to answer that, but some focus on that. I want them to think of the Sony principle as the First Amendment of cyberspace. The freedom of each node to speak and to listen to and with any other node on the planet. And frankly, I want this brief to be a demonstration of the potential of citizenship in cyberspace. A filing from a single node.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll try it.
Go for it, Andrew.
You realize I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Hey, you do beautifully. You do totally beautifully.
All right.
I'm also amazed at the speed with which you produce stuff. You work fast.
Well, we'll see. How much time do I have on this? Say, over the weekend?
Oh, sure, definitely.
Okay.
And do you think Lexi will be...
Yeah, I think she'll be into it.
Good, see if you can connect her.
Yeah. All right, I think I have some ideas of how to do this. All right, well, here's what I'll do. I'll take a first crack at it, then I'll send it back your way, and we'll see if we can figure it out. I'm a little more hesitant to do the stuff with Wayne and Becca because I don't...
You don't know them. I didn't even talk to you about them.
I'm just doing...
Let Fern... We'll,
I'm going to work on just trying to put together the pieces of this argument.
Right.
And we'll see where we go from there.
Right. And you've helped me enormously with your idea of a brief on the block. I hadn't quite visualized that yet, and yet that's crystal clear.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll get started.
Cool.
All right, and we can... Well, I'll have to be in touch with you between now and then, probably. To...
I'm here.
As far as DRM goes, what's a good way to learn more about that? Just Google it? What does it stand for? Digital Resource Media?
Digital Rights Management.
Right, yeah. That's right. Because I listened to a part of the thing on your blog, but didn't have time to listen to the whole thing.
Well, I had to turn off the machine.
Right.
At their conference, so you didn't get their whole conference.
Right, I listened to the beginning part of it, and then your response to it afterwards.
The impressive part, the takeaway part for me on the conference, was Chris Cookson, who is the chief technical officer for Warner Brothers, and like a totally into the engineering of this stuff, demonstrated the analog hole to the assembled group using equipment that he had just obtained at the Consumer Electronics Show. That is stuff that's being manufactured and for sale.
This is Las Vegas.
Right. And what he showed them was that once your product hits an analog screen, you lose control of it. That there are now devices which will fluidly, seamlessly, easily take the image or sound or whatever from the analog output, digitize it, and bingo, distribute it anywhere. And so he was challenging them in a way, but also showing the path, which is to an environment that is dominated by digital screens. He sees the problem as transitional to a time when all of our TVs are digital. That puts the world into an environment that they feel much more comfortable controlling. And not total control. That's not what they're seeing. They're seeing a form of speed bumps control where there's just some impediments in the way. But if you're a confirmed hacker with time and energy and motivation and all of that, you can break through it.
Right. It's just, if you're somebody like me, I'm going to be intimidated out of trying to download a movie off the internet because I don't know how to do it. But if I'm somebody who's, you know, a hacker, I'll be able to do it. But the fact of the matter is that they're going to work around eventually whatever speed bumps you put in place anyway. So, you know, at the end of the day, why build a better mousetrap? All right.
But don't go too deep into DRM. It's like the deep weeds.
Yeah, well, I can't. I'm not going to. It's going to take. It'd take me 6 months to understand
from
how it works anyway.
From the point of view of the justices, all they need to believe is that the engineers are telling the companies that this is the way to go, and that the engineers really believe it themselves.
Right. That That there's...
That with the right kind of help, context, they can establish engineering speed bumps, which will produce a fair and acceptable creation of markets to which a knowledgeable consuming public can subscribe, happily subscribe.
And the key to this is dispelling the perception that they have to do something, that
yes.
they have to act.
Yes. Don't distract them from that task. In
the
fact, concentrate all your attention on figuring that task out. That's the message I want to put out.
The thing to do is nothing.
Nothing coming down from a court to
right.
jiggle a legal structure, but damn straight, something.
Well, right, but something not from... Scalia, O'Connor,
right.
et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I would like, one thought I've had here, but I doubt it would be mature enough to use, is I was very turned on by this conference that we had in New York last Friday. It's just last Friday. It's, yeah, just recently. The problem with it, though, was that it was closed. They made me turn off the machine. And it was also badly structured. They had co-moderators, which totally screwed the thing up. You couldn't keep the thing on point.
Yeah, who's going to moderate the moderators?
But if you, and the moderators wound up fighting with each other, that's what happens. If you, if the Berkman Center, maybe in conjunction with the agency that sponsored this last one, were to create the same forum all over again, only open, I think that we could make progress on the issues.
Well, if it's open up to a broad range of voices.
It's not so much that, it's that the people who are actually in the room. Well, we had a contrast. I don't know whether this is true, but we did a conference on the disruptive aspect of the blog space on established journalism a week before. Open. There were bloggers. And there was no bullshit. These people really talked about the problems that they saw. And you got to see the established journalists talking both sides of the problem, too, because there's a great deal in the blog space that excites them. And somehow I think that the fact that this room was closed led the participants to make their typical stump speeches, basically. You couldn't get them off the piracy thing.
Well, and this is good because... You've probably already thought of this, but the idea, once you're in litigation, it's always us or them. The folks on the plaintiff's side can't ever admit any positive things about an open world on the internet, and the folks on the other side can't admit that there's any need to ever control anything. And what you just said about journalists being excited about a lot of things in the blog space seems to be an argument for pushing litigation out of the fray here and creating a much more open, the kind of way to go forward that the Sony principle represents. So it represents a world where there's not always an us-them framework, and that it's more about trying to work together to create.
Period. That's it. Absolutely.
All right.
All right, so this should be fun.
Yeah.